This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
Anyway, my name is Deanna Davis. I'm interviewing Myron Davis in New Rochelle, New York on, what is today?
5th.
Yeah, February 5th, 2021. Do you give me permission to record and distribute this oral history?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Please state your name.
Myron Davis.
And your age?
46.
Your occupation?
Inventory auditor.
Racial identity?
Black.
Gender identity?
Male.
Sexual orientation?
Female?
No, straight.
Oh, straight. I'm sorry. Jesus. No, you said sexual orientation. I thought
sexual orientation means what you're attracted to.
Who am I attracted to? I'm attracted to women.
That means you're straight, Myron. Get it together. Yeah. All right. Where are you from?
New Rochelle, New York.
Okay. Tell me the long story of how you and your family ended up in New York. Or if you want to be particular, New Rochelle.
My parents migrated from Jamaica before I was born. They bought the house in 1973, got married in 1973, and I was born July of 74.
Okay. All right. How has the coronavirus changed your life?
It's changed my life because I now have to be alert. I have to be conscious of where I go. I have to be conscious of who I'm in contact with. I have to make sure I'm protected, not just for myself, but for my family as well. Because you can pick it up on surfaces, you can pick it up in the air, anywhere, anything is possible.
What was it like to be home so often?
It wasn't bad. I'm a homebody, so I enjoy being home. So I don't mind being home because I supply myself very well with things to keep me occupied at home. So being home is not a headache or a bad thing. It's actually a good thing.
How did they impact you mentally and emotionally?
You know, I got fearful and nervous, you know, that I could be exposed to it at work and bring home to my wife and my daughter because of the uncertainty of what's out there. And today, almost a full year later, there's a lot of uncertainty still present.
How has it impacted you socially?
Not at all. I mean, I still speak to my friends, my coworkers, family. Out of all my siblings, I'm the only one in the state of New York. So as far as work-related friends, we still interact as if the virus wasn't going on. I mean, we, you know, keep distances, we have our masks on, but still talk and joke and have fun.
How did it impact your family?
Well, we just were very conscious as far as where to go, making sure we're protected, making sure when I come home from work, I change my clothes, go straight into the shower, put my clothes in a designated area to make sure it doesn't get exposed or be exposed to anyone in the house.
Are people in your household working?
Yes, my wife.
What does your wife do?
She's a nurse case manager.
What have you learned about yourself and your family since the beginning of this crisis?
That we're flexible and that we are adaptable. That's the word I'm looking for. We adapt well. Did that very well to circumstances that we can't control.
What has been the hardest part of this pandemic for you?
the uncertainty of day to day, you know, the strands, who's infected. At my job, we've had at least a minimum of 20 people over the course of the year that have been infected. That's, you know, and almost every week, a new case. So it's kind of challenging.
Has there been anything positive to come out of this pandemic for
you? Yep. Positive thing is we just, you know, we are resilient people. We bounce back and we're able to know what we were facing, and we can be adaptable. And I think being adaptable under circumstances like this is a good thing.
Next question. Mm-hmm. What do you think the nation and the world should learn from this big pandemic?
To be alert and ready for anything that's possible, and to be prepared. You know what I mean?
All right, now we're going to talk about the BLM protests.
Okay.
Explain to me why you think these anti-racial protests erupted.
Well, it came from Mr. Trump. He cited people that were already racist, and he incited stuff that was already accepted, I guess, if that's the right word. And since it came from the president at that time, people felt it was right to voice their opinion and voice what they were really feeling. So basically, he just found people and gave them a voice, and he was their voice.
Why do you think New York City became an epicenter of the protest?
Well, because New York City is a melting pot. Remember, you got Ellis Island, the Statue of Liberty, everybody came to New York. And you have every ethnicity in the state of New York, or New York City, I should say. You have literally every ethnicity. So, and not all ethnicities get along for one reason or another. And it's not just about color. It's about culture. Because there are some Caucasians that don't get along with other Caucasians because of the culture and their beliefs and what they practice. So it's not just brown and black and white. Within your own culture, there are issues. That's any race, any ethnicity, any gender.
Okay. Next question. What do you have the uprisings? Excuse me. How have the uprisings across the country shifted how you think about your ethnic identity and your place in the U.S. society?
Well, it makes me realize that people are ignorant and people see what they want to see. People hear what they want to hear. People do what they want to do. And a lot of people don't need much of an excuse to do what's already inside of them or do what's already in their mind. So for people to racial profile or to act out in that regard, then that's something that they've already considered, that they've already experienced, or they already accomplished, because, you know, the average person, well, in some cases, doesn't really think about these things unless they're exposed to it or they've been, you know, I'm not going to use the word brainwashed, but conditioned for a lot of these things.
Do you have any stories you are willing to share about encounters you have had with racism or the police?
Actually, I haven't had any encounters with the police to the levels that have been displayed on whether YouTube or Facebook or on the news. We all go through racism in one way or another. It could be mild, it could be extreme. And what happens is because of my height and my, you know, I'm like what, 6'1", you know, and being around people that are shorter, not, it's not a height issue, but to know that you are, it's a tall Black guy, people get intimidated by it and they automatically think you're coming to assault them or hurt them. So they kind of, you know, fend off and kind of walk the opposite direction. But not, I have not experienced racism to the levels that have been displayed on social media. I haven't been that way, and including the police, because I make sure I put myself in a position that that it's what's the word I'm looking for? I put myself in a position that I'm not in a compromising or compromised way as far as driving or walking the street. I make sure I don't fit the profile. Like when my pants hanging or driving with loud music or speeding and going inside in and out of lanes. I'm kind of conservative like that. I just keep it basic and simple to not draw attention to myself.
Do you think more stories among friends and family members are being shared about racism and the police since the protests started?
Of course. You go on Facebook. I went on Facebook today. I was scrolling through and I saw a police officer pull a gun on a car. I think, I'm going to say possibly the guy was Hispanic because he had a, you know, different tone in his voice. And the guy, the police officer had his gun pulled on him. And he was like, and he was on the radio saying, the I don't know how he identified the guy, but he was reaching for under the seat. So he assumed there was a weapon of some type under the seat, but the officer said, yeah, I need your license or registration. So how he was reaching, I don't know if he was reaching under the seat or not, but the officer felt threatened, he pulled out his weapon, called for backup, and the guy that was in the passenger seat felt extremely uncomfortable. But the police was like, oh, relax, it's okay, it's okay. He's like, wait, no, I'm not going to relax. You got your gun pointed at me. It looked like you trigger happy. I mean, he was cussing and swearing also, but it just, it was, wow.
Have you learned about
an
experience of someone close to you?
Yeah, you know, people at work, they talk about it. I've seen, even driving home from work, I've seen one of my Hispanic friends get pulled over by the police, actually two police vehicles. I don't know if it's because of his car and it's kind of revved up and souped up, but I have seen it. You know, we just hope and wish for the best, and he was able to talk about it the following day or next time he came to work.
Were you active in the protests at all in a digital or in-person way over the last 6 months?
No, not at all, in any way, shape, or form.
How have the protests in the context of the coronavirus shifted the way you think race in America?
Well, people put their beliefs over their health, so when the BLM was protesting, a lot of them didn't have masks. A lot of them did have masks. And some of the pictures and videos that I saw was kind of outlandish. Of course, there's, you know, special people everywhere. But they felt they were doing it for justice. And even with the voting in November, you know, they wanted to make sure the BLM was represented throughout the process, and especially in Philadelphia with the votes turning and shifting in Philadelphia and possibly in Georgia.
How has the past year changed how you think about police and racism in the U.S.?
Well, I just got to be careful now. It makes you aware that at any given time, you can be a victim. At any given time, you can experience racism. At any given time, you can be profiled. And it's a real thing. It's a real thing. And you just got to make sure you don't put yourself in an awkward position. You know, don't draw attention to yourself. I'm sure somebody's going to say, well, I don't. But think about what we do on a daily basis. We're loud. We have loud music, the way we dress, the way we carry ourselves, the way we speak. And there are people that are educated and have been profiled and been harassed and been falsely arrested. So it works both sides, but you just got to make sure you are not found in a compromising position, because a lot of these, perfect example, there's a clip on Facebook that a black guy and his girlfriend got pulled over unjustly because they were profiled. But come to find out, the girlfriend and or boyfriend edited the tape or the video, not showing everyone on Facebook that this guy was pushing 100 miles an hour on the highway. So what do you think happened? The police officer pulled him over. And immediately, he made it about race. Now, the police officer, you could tell in his face and in his tone, it was uncomfortable because they tried to make it about black and racism. But he was like, hold up, you were speeding. What does that have to do with race? What does that have to do with BLM? What does that have to do with anything? You were speeding. Come to find out, the couple, the black couple, it was found out to be factual that they edited the tape or the video and only put a certain portion of the video on Facebook to give the impression that there was racial profiling. In fact, it wasn't.
Did you learn more about the history of racism in this country since the protests started?
No. I didn't learn about the history. It's always been there, but it's been quiet. But for the racists to do what they did, they had a authoritative voice. And that voice was the former president of the United States, Mr. 45 himself. He gave them a voice. Even when Trump was doing his campaigning for the election, a lot of the Caucasians spat out racial racial slurs and so on during when he was campaigning. So he was hence the reason why he could have gotten the vote that he got the first time he won, in 2016, because of the agenda. He was pushing racism, and he was only feeding into what was already in America. Let's be honest. The thing about America is every person in America are immigrants. The only people that are not immigrants are Native Americans. Those are only non-immigrants on this land. Everybody else are immigrants. The Irish, the British, the Polish, the German, the whoever. All of our great-grandparents or grandparents or great-great-great or however you want to, either they came over on ships because of religious persecution, and they ran from Europe. Then they dealt with the Native Americans and took over the land and went to Africa, got slaves, and because of labor, the Native Americans couldn't handle the labor that was expected of them. Hence the reason why they went to Africa to get the men and women over there to come over, because they were able to handle and manage the labor that was required. So, and they went to the Caribbean, you know, Christopher Columbus, he was a slave trader, et cetera, et cetera. So it was all about labor and free labor and suppressing people. Is racism real? Yes. Were slaves real? Yes. And that's a fact. But it's just sad to understand that the former president, Donald Trump, just incited people to show their racism daily and openly and consciously.
I'm going to add a question. Do you think America has progressed or stayed the same in terms of racism?
Gotten worse. It gotten worse. Because racism has always been here. Racism will always be here. And racism is not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. We can take all the sensitivity classes until we're blue in the face. We can do community service until it's going to be here. It's going to be here because you'll find someone that has a voice that will speak on the behalf of racism and people will follow it. So unfortunately, racism, will always be relevant for some people because it's a culture.
What have you seen your peers doing that inspires you?
Just getting up every day, going to work, taking care of their families, like I do. You know, we talk, we share, and we just keep grinding. We're between the coronavirus issues and the vaccines and the other injustices that are on the land in the country. We just keep grinding.
What do you think about the cops' response to a protest that began in May 2020?
Not surprised again, because you have racist police officers. Some of them consciously and purposely joined the police academy so they can legally administer pain and death, if that's lack of a better word, to brown and black people. Some of them purposely go to the police academy to beat and possibly kill people of color.
What do you think about the local and national government response to the protest that began in May 2020?
It was wrong. Mr. Trump clearly didn't care because, again, his voice was to promote and push racism. So as much as he gave the facade of, oh, let's work together. But if you notice, there's a lot of things he did not disband or condemn. That's the word I'm looking for. He did not condemn. He supported, he used words to make it seem that this was acceptable or it was okay. So,
how would you like to see this movement resolved?
Just treat each other with respect and know that each life has a value to it. It may not be valuable to the next person, but someone's life is valuable to that, to their family, to their community, to their culture. That life is valuable. And we have to treat life as such. We did not create each other as God created us. So we are then taking our hand and applying it as God when we take life, not realizing we are not God or gods, but we are the results of his creation, and we need to value life across the board. Doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter what culture you're from or ethnicity, you need to value life.
What is your role in achieving that outcome?
Well, as a pastor, you continue to teach love and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and meekness, self-control, and you reach to people that can help the community learn. And it's not just about teaching. It's about changing people's minds, change people's mindsets, and to let them know that change is possible. Change is possible, but you have to want to change for it to be possible.
Is there anything else about the racist uprisings you'd like to share?
No, pretty much said it all.
What are your reactions to the invasion of the U.S. Capitol by Trump supporters on January 6, 2021?
Unbelievable. And total shock to know that that happened in our country. Usually that happens in other countries that are not governed correctly and or in a movie. But to know that happened live and you were a witness, may not have been there physically, but you saw the pictures, you heard what was going on, you saw the police within the Capitol itself pulling out weapons to protesters, and about 4 or 5 people died. I believe it was like up to 5 people that died. And it's real. It's totally unbelievable and unacceptable.
What do you think led to these people to, what do you think led these people to attempt to finally overthrow the government?
The former 45th president. Because he lost an election. He's a sore loser. And matter of fact, let me go to this point. He doesn't like losers, because I remember when he was doing an interview in Arizona, he called the former Senator John McCain a loser. I mean, mind you, he was dying, or he died of brain cancer. But because he lost to President Barack Obama, he was called a loser. So, mind you, he was a war veteran, and Trump said that he was no war veteran, it was all fake, and so on and so on. So, to have a president, or to know that you lived in a time, you thought that really some of the stuff that happened, you thought it was fictional, not real, because of it was so easy that it rolled off his tongue. And he didn't bat his eye or think twice about it. He said, let's go to the Capitol. And so said, so done. The one thing I found out is that the Capitol was consciously unprepared for the events. Because for you to have that type of meeting in front of the White House, there has to be permits. And whomever was the coordinator for the gathering in front of the White House where President Trump spoke had to apply for permits or a permit. And no one considered that there might be an issue. But going back to the BLM, they made sure the steps of the Capitol were guarded much more intensely than when the former president opened his mouth and said, let's go to the Capitol.
Were you surprised about how they were treated by the police?
Who's that?
The Trump supporters.
Yes and no. It wasn't a total surprise, but it was a surprise because there were some people that were misguided as far as their behavior. And there were video clips that you saw police taking selfies with the protesters, taking pictures and allowing them to go through the gates. There's video evidence and pictures to show that the guards or the police officers moved the gates and allowed the protesters to come in. And again, they were taking selfies and so on. Not all of them, but a good chunk, because there was a investigation, and it was factually proven that the guards are, as a matter of fact, and those guards, I believe, are being prosecuted or were prosecuted for assisting in the riots. So it was disappointing to know that you took an oath and to serve and protect, and you supported something that was insane from the beginning.
How about how they treated the police?
Well, I believe one or two police officers died because of the insurrection, as it's being called. I guess those who allowed the protesters to go into the Capitol were scared or nervous. They weren't prepared. They weren't prepared. And because they weren't prepared, decisions were made to compromise the Capitol. The Capitol police were not prepared for the protesters. Mind you, again, going back to the whole permit, the permit was issued to the coordinator of whatever was going on in front of the White House, and knowing that no one knew or could have known, but it could have got ugly, which it did get ugly, but again, the Capitol Police were not prepared. But yet a permit was issued, and thousands of people showed up.
Okay. There have been reports that members of the groups that stormed the Capitol have been added to be public officials, like police officers, elected officials, members of the U.S. military. What, if anything, should we do as a society with the information of these things?
Let them know they're not above the law. Let them know that they are expected to follow the same rules and regulations we do. Just because they may have a certain career or office or status, doesn't mean you're better. You got to follow the same laws we do. And if you don't, then you're going to get prosecuted, period. There should be no exceptions to the rule, period, because lives were lost. Literally, lives were lost. It wasn't like a fictional thing could have been lost. I believe 5 people lost their lives unnecessarily.
What do you think about President Trump's reaction to the invasion?
Well, he didn't respond knowing what happened. He went back into the White House, probably watched the news, I'm sure he wasn't surprised, because again, he triggered them by what he was saying to go do his bidding. Now, what if more lives were lost? What if one of the senators or the House of Representatives got injured or hurt or killed? It would have been, it's bad enough 5 people passed at their level. It would have been more intense if someone on a higher level would have lost their lives or got hurt. People had on gas masks. They were hiding under the benches or in under chairs. So it was insane.
It's been reported that a member of the Trump administration may have planned the attack, but as not a protest, but like a campaign strategy, I guess, or to scare them. How do you feel about that?
No surprise. Because they also found pipe bombs in the bushes, on the grass, or in the vicinity of the Capitol. They found pipe bombs as well. So, not surprised.
What do you think about the impeachment trial of former 45?
Well, he said he's not showing up. I believe I read that this past week. He's not showing up to the trial to testify. So again, he feels he's above the law and he doesn't have to answer for anything he says and does.
Do you think that Congress will throw him in there? Or whoever has the authority?
That's kind of tough. That's kind of tough, because if they throw him in jail, he'll be the first president to be thrown in jail like that. Nixon, after Watergate, he resigned. Trump already lost the election, so he doesn't need to resign, but he needs to admit to what he did was wrong, which he later did apologize, or some type of apology. But he should have did a better job, knowing that he has a voice. He should have did a better job and used that voice more correctly and more respectfully.
Right, these are my only questions. Has a black man, do the recent offense of the protesting and reading scare you?
Yeah, it does, because it can happen at any time, any place.
when you think about the things your parents may have had to deal with during their time, do you think that America is getting better or worse with racism?
Worse.
Why do you say that?
Because when you have a public voice, as they did with the 45th president, they feel justified in doing and saying what they want.
How do you think Trump's impeachment and re-election loss will hurt or improve America?
Well, it's going to hurt America because, no, it's going to hurt America because it's going to only incite those who are already angry and racist. But it will help America to let them know that the system, no one's above the law. And all who participate in behaviors like this will be prosecuted.
How do you think Biden will handle Trump's impeachment and the possible repercussions of it?
I think I'm too sure about that. I think Biden has other things he has to deal with. I think he's going to let Congress handle that and not say or do too much with it. So he doesn't seem like he has time for that. That's just me. I don't think he has too much time for that. Of course, he's going to get updated and told and so on, but he's the president now. So I don't think Trump is a necessity as far as his thoughts and feelings are concerned.
Surprisingly, Kamala Harris made it to the White House to become America's first brown female vice president after racism and sexism of 45. With this in mind, do you think America is ready for a female in the White House as president?
Not yet. Not yet. Soon, yeah, but not yet.
When you say that?
I mean, Kamala Harris is a woman, obviously. So I believe President Biden already made a comment and introduced her as the next president of the United States or something to that effect. So I guess in a sense, he's grooming her for the next election. So I think not yet. Whether she's the first or not, I don't think it's going to happen, but not yet. I just don't know when. But whether she's the first female president of any type of color or not, she has a strong chance.
What are some expectations you have for Biden?
To stick to what he said he's going to do. That's all. Be a man of your word.
After getting 45 out of the office, do you think America is still the laughingstock of the world?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
Because look what happened the last 4 years. Donald Trump was not presidential. He was not presidential, meaning His etiquette was terrible. His mannerisms were terrible. His speeches were terrible. Everything he did was not presidential. He was not suited to be a president. And because he was not suited to be a president, it showed. When he spoke, it showed how he carried himself. It showed when he made certain type of decisions. It showed when times got tough. But he wasn't presidential, and there is a difference. There was a difference. Other presidents carried themselves with more integrity than Donald Trump. Donald Trump, because he's president, he felt he could say and do what he wants, but he was not presidential. You're not going to agree with everything a president says or does. You're not going to agree with everything. But you can also respect them how they carry themselves as a man. And Donald Trump did not carry himself well as a man. He carried himself as a bully and as a insecure man, very insecure.
Do you think that if Hillary was made president in 2016, that most of the recent events would have happened? Example, storming the Capitol, most of these white supremacist riots, delayed warning of COVID.
No, none of this stuff would happen. I think, remember, the reason why I said it, because she already had 8 years of experience with her husband being in the White House. So she may not have been in every room, every decision, but she knows, or she was exposed to a lot of things when those 8 years when her husband was president of the United States. And remember, she was also the first lady of, I think, Arkansas. Bill Clinton was a governor in Arkansas as well. So being a governor's wife and being the president's wife, she has a lot of knowledge and experience. May not be to a certain extent that we would hope or want, but she has a lot of knowledge.
Do you think things will get better under the Biden administration?
Initially, no, but over time, yes. Because you still have to deal with the repercussions of Donald Trump's decision. Hence the reason why President Biden did a multitude of executive orders or reversals based on what Donald Trump put into office or put into policy.
Do you think America is capable of being great?
Yeah, of course.
I don't think as much as Donald Trump protested could be during his campaign.
I remember President Reagan, Ronald Reagan. I remember him as a child. And when he spoke, things got done. He was a Republican, but the world respected what he said, and they knew America was not to be messed with. So I fall back to that. And they didn't want to mess with America. And because of Mr. Trump, we've kind of lost our respect and shine, if you want to say. We lost it.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.